Hello and welcome to another episode of A Conversation with a Black Businesswoman with me, your host, Lillian Oliveri from Kale Accountancy Limited, based in London, UK. And yeah, it's been a while. I feel like it's been a while since the last episode. As the young people like to say nowadays, life has been lifing. So yeah, so now that we're back on track, let's get into this new episode. And in this episode, we'll be talking with Anita Barzi. She is the founder of Motivate Me Tutors, and she's also an independent travel consultant. So you're going to love her vibe, how she's humble, how she started her business. And yeah, and I hope you enjoy this episode. And if you definitely need a travel consultant, definitely link up with Anita. This woman has traveled, and you'll get that in this episode. So here's another episode of A Conversation with a Black Businesswoman, and my guest today is Anita Barzi. Enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of A Conversation with a Black Businesswoman with me, your host, Lillian Oliveri, based in London, and I work at Kale Accountancy Limited. And today we have the lovely, beautiful Anita Barzi.
Anita Barzi,
founder of Motivate Me Tutors, and she's also an independent travel consultant with Honeymoon and Holiday Fixer Group. Hi, Anita.
Hello. Hi. Thank you, Lillian. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We actually met through Athena, Athena Networking, which is a women's only networking group. I think it's nationally.
I think they actually do have some international groups, actually, funny enough.
Oh, wow.
They do, yeah. They have some international groups. I'm sure there's a group in Singapore.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So me and Anita met through through Athena. We're actually part of the Mayfair branch as well. So hello to Agnes and all the gang there in the Mayfair branch. But let's get into Anita and get to know her. She is, as I said, a private tutor. But also what we want to find out from you is how you got into it. What made you start this as a business? Yeah. How did that start?
Yeah, so I always say this to people, that it was by accident that I became a tutor. So I started my career in education, working in various different roles. So I worked as a TA, I worked as a mentor, worked as a teacher. But anyone that lives in London will tell you and can tell you that sometimes your salary just doesn't stretch far enough.
Especially
if you've got to pay bills and you want to do fun things with your free time. So I pretty much started to brainstorm what I could do to bring in some extra money. And what I wanted to do with that extra money was actually travel. So I was that teacher that at the end of every summer holidays, I was away. That was me. That was my plan. You know, once I finished work, I'm going somewhere. I'm going to do some traveling. So I started looking at what I could do, and it kind of felt quite natural for me to do some private tuition.
Yeah.
So I started to do some private tuition with an agency. And I remember I was with them for a few months, and the first student that they gave me was GCSE. And then the second student that the agency approached me to work with was a young boy that was preparing for the 11 plus.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to the lady that owned the agency, look, I've never worked with anyone that's prepared for the 11 plus. I don't know much about the market. And she was like, look, Anita, you'll be fine. You know, you've got the background in education. You've got a drama degree. You'll be the perfect tutor for 11 plus. So she supported me. She kind of helped me kind of create my first lesson plans. She was on hand. If I had any questions, she would support me. And I remember that first few months of working with this young boy, I really didn't know what I was doing. And I put my hands up and say, I didn't know what I was doing. I was reading everything I could find about the 11 plus, was doing research on the internet, was buying books, buying resources. And I put my all into this one student. And really, really pushed him for that. I worked with him for about a year. Really pushed him, really encouraged him and motivated him. And it wasn't until the end of the process that I realised what I'd been doing with him. I wasn't preparing him for the exam, but I was actually trying to set him up to be a lifelong learner. But I was also encouraging him and motivating him. And he actually passed. So he was the first student I ever helped get into a really good school. And that was really, that was a big thing for me. It changed my direction, because I went from being Anita that had never worked, done any 11 plus work, to being the Anita everybody wanted to work with.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, God, this is crazy. And I remember his mum calling me on the phone, crying down the phone. She said to me, you don't know what you've done for our family. I was thinking about him the other day, actually, because it was my 10-year anniversary of my business. And I think I'd worked with him about 12 years ago. So I was thinking about him the other day and I thought, God, he's probably finished uni now. I haven't spoken to his mum for a while. But, as you know, so it's nice. So that was by accident. And I'm always honest about it. It was all by accident that I started tutoring. And then I thought, actually, this is a really good business that I could, you know, run with. And I really enjoy it. So that was pretty much how I got into that first business.
Yeah. That's amazing, because most of the women I talk to on the podcast now, it's almost like it's a thing that they fell into. Not that it wasn't specifically planned. I think, like for me, from the age of 19, I knew I wanted to run a business of some sort. My business originally was going to be a restaurant. I've still got the business plan. Still got the business plan and the menus. But I knew from 19 I didn't want to work for somebody else for the rest of my life. I wanted to work. And it's amazing how I've spoken to quite a few women actually on the podcast, and it's a case of, you know what? Let me see. It was for different reasons.
Yeah.
But I think for you as well. But it must be so encouraging. And I think that's the reason as well. One of the reasons for the podcast is to encourage other women and other people, not just women, other people, to say, you know what? If there's this thought lingering, it doesn't always have to be the perfect plan. I mean, I am a planner. I do like to try. I am organized. I have got that admin element to background to me. But there is something that's special about, you know what, let's see what happens with this.
Yeah.
And persevere and grow.
Yeah. I mean, that's how my second business came about. Mm. It was literally, again, and I say this again, that was by accident. The seed had been planted by somebody else.
Mm.
I love to travel. That was me. I love traveling. But I don't just, I always say this to people, I don't just like to travel. I really like to immerse myself in a place. And I've done a lot of traveling. I don't just go on holiday. I like to meet the people. I like to meet, find out more about the culture. And I remember I'd been working, I'd done a contract at a college. And I remember speaking to this travel and tourism teacher. I was working with this travel and tourism group in a college setting. And I remember talking to the teacher and she told me that she'd owned a travel business.
Okay.
And I remember going, what? My ears just pricked up because I was like, huh? And I remember us talking about what it looked like for her having a travel business. Yeah. She was a teacher by day. And she said that I run my travel business around my work commitments. Mm. And I do a lot of work in the evenings and weekends. And I remember being mesmerized by her because I was just like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, God, I wonder if I could do that. And that was the first seed that was planted for me. And then I went away and I started to do some research, about what it would look like if I bought into a travel franchise. And I was a parent at that time. So I had my first child and he was two.
Oh, wow.
But I was excited by the possibility of having a business that lived with me, because I've always believed that you shouldn't have a business whereby you have to be location dependent. I've always had that in mind.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, gosh, maybe I could buy a travel franchise. And I wrote a business plan. To buy a travel business, and I remember going to see a business advisor. It was helpful, very helpful, very very helpful. Mm. He gave me some really good insights. But I think one of the things that always stopped me was money.
Yeah,
I didn't have enough money to invest in a travel franchise at the time. And when I actually sat down and got really serious about it, I realised that actually, I was probably looking in the wrong places for this business.
Right.
Yeah. So I started to look at people online that were doing what I was doing.
Yeah.
And there was this one lady that I started to follow called Brit. I'd been following her for about a couple of years, actually, because she'd bought a travel franchise. And I was following her journey on social media.
Yeah.
And I was quite impressed with what I saw. You know, I was following what
What's
she was
What's her name,
doing.
Sorry?
Brit.
Brit. Brit, okay.
Yeah. So I was following her online and I remember it really clearly. She actually announced that she'd left the travel franchise that I'd been following her journey on. And she said, actually, I'm going to start my own travel business. You know, watch this space. And I thought, okay. And I started thinking, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, what's happened to the travel franchise? Because that was one of the companies I was about to buy into.
Right.
I wonder what happened. And I didn't, you know, I didn't message her or ask her, but I just kept on watching from afar.
Mm.
And then I remember she announced that she was looking for home workers to run their own business using her umbrella, her business, the Honeymoon Holiday Fixer, and would have been known as Holiday Fixers. And I remember it. I'd actually had a second child. So I'm missing that bit of the story, aren't I? Yes. I'd actually had a second child. And she was 8 weeks old.
Aww.
And I remember thinking, do you know what? I'm just going to message her. Let me just message her and ask her, you know, about more details about this opportunity. Mm. And I messaged her, and it actually so happened that we didn't live too far from each other.
We met
for a coffee, and we sat for about 2 hours. 2 hours, and we spoke about, you know, what it would look like if I became a holiday fixer. And at the end of that meeting, I said to her, look, and it's crazy because I had my daughter in a sling, and I said to her, look, this is really crazy, and I don't even know what I'm saying yes to, really. I said, but I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to work out the rest. Because for me, it just felt like it was an opportunity that I'd been waiting for. And I remember thinking, when I went home, I thought, oh my God, I've said yes to something. I don't know what I said yes to. Because I've got 2 kids under 3.
Oh, wow.
I don't even know what this is going to look like. But I just knew, I just had this vision that, you know, if I could make it work, then I would be able to get the right family balance, the right, you know, the right working balance. Because I've always wanted to be a working mum. I've always wanted to be a working mum, but I don't want to be that parent that is missing things.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to be that parent. So I'm very lucky. You know, I know I'm very lucky because I don't miss anything. I mean, I do miss things, but I don't miss some of the major things. I don't miss, you know.
Right.
I've already got in my diary, I've already got my kids' Christmas events at school because I'll be there.
Yeah.
I will be there because I'm going to make sure that all my work and all my meetings, they work around
those
dates. So for me, it's been a godsend. I also have a chronic illness, and you know, being able to take time away from the business and just take a step back for me is also a blessing. I've been very blessed. I do have to work very hard. You know, don't get me wrong, I do have to work very hard, but it's on my terms. A lot of what I do is on my terms, and that's what I've always wanted to create, and that's always been the vision that I've had for my family, to create an empire that works around our life.
I think that is another aspect. Like you, it's almost like you start. I like that phrase that you said, say yes and the rest will work out, and you'll work out the rest.
Yeah.
It's just that step of faith to say, okay, let me try this. And I think I was watching something on Instagram or YouTube where this interviewer was interviewing this sports, this athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, oh, do you feel like this failure? And he goes, well, when you get something present, it doesn't get the coverage. Do you think that's failure?
Mm-hmm.
You learn from it and you move forward. You know, how many times, and I think that's the thing, that's the scary thought, that you feel like when you start a business, it has to be successful.
That's it.
You know, it has to be sustainable. Da, 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 da. Yes, you want it to be sustainable and successful. But if you make mistakes along the way, I'm sure, you know, I have in my second year made loads of mistakes, but I've learned from it. So, okay, this is what we're now going to do.
Yeah.
And make those adjustments. And it may mean sometimes making cuts and different things with staff members and readjusting. And then, but it's also finding the right team to work with you that says, okay, I understand the path and the journey that you're on. I know that this is a businesswoman for you. Whereas sometimes in the corporate world or other sectors, whether in teaching as well, it might be a case of this is a decision. That there's no relationship of such.
Yeah,
it's just a case of this is a decision. And I like the aspect that I get to work with people on a personal basis as well. There are boundaries, but the personal basis, but also it gives me so much flexibility because when my mom was here and we were caring for her, there is no way in my work, any of the workplaces, I could have had that flexibility.
Yeah,
I just, you know, I had to take on staff. Then say, okay, I'm taking it to a hospital. I'll take it to a hospital. I had my husband obviously working with me and my sister, assisting me with my mom. But it was a case of, okay, if I wanted to do something like you, I said, I can make that decision.
Exactly.
I told some of my clients as well, listen, things are going to be a bit different, but I'm getting staff on board. So it allows for that flexibility.
Yeah, that's what you need
to do life really.
Yeah, that's what you need. And I think I don't know how you feel about this, but I just had my 10-year anniversary of business in July.
Mm.
And I didn't celebrate it. And I'll be honest, I didn't celebrate it. And it was because I'm probably going to do something next year now. I think I didn't celebrate it because in my head, I had this idea of how far I should be.
Okay.
How far I should be in business. I'm like, oh, not where I should be. But I think sometimes when you run a business, you can get so caught up in what other people are doing. But actually, we're all on our own journey. And your journey in your business is going to look different to another accountant that's doing the same as you. So I think you've got to definitely stay in your, you know, in your lane and do what works for you, your family and your business. You know, I think that's definitely important. That's definitely something that I always think about.
Yeah. And I like the aspect that you said about the fact that you can work from home, or it doesn't have to be home. It could be anywhere. And I remember talking to you as well about how I see people on YouTube, they're traveling with their children.
Yeah.
And homeschooling them different places in the world because you can now.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
And they're giving their children such great experiences and knowledge and life experiences, really, about different cultures and moving around while studying abroad and the parents working abroad. Have you thought about that?
I have. I have thought about it. Do you know what's stopping me now? I think what stops it is I think things like grandparents, you know, we won't see them for, you know, a year, or, you know, and kids have got their little routines. But actually, you know, I think they call it, the term is world schooling now. I think that's the term they use.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually think that, I think it works. I think it can work. Mm. And I think if that's your life and you can make it, you can definitely make it work. I think about it all the time, though. I think about what would it look like if we were to go traveling for, say, a year. You know, what would that look like? And you can so easily do it. It's not, it's not impossible. I mean, my businesses will come with me. I just need a laptop.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty, isn't it? I just need my laptop and some good Wi-Fi and then...
Good to go.
Good to go.
Yeah. I mean, how did you find it? Because, again, part of the podcast is just talking to women and people about how do you find it setting up a business, especially in the UK? I remember us having this conversation about Black women, how the representation, how we're seen, how it works, whether you're in the corporate sector or teaching or, you know, what if you're an ambitious type, and there's nothing wrong with not, if you just want to do the 9-to-5, work money and just go home. There's nothing, I don't think there's a problem with that.
No,
but if you're a person that says, actually, I want to make a difference. I want to, well, not that you, if you're working at home or doing 9-to-5, you're not making a difference. But
yeah, I get you.
In the sense of if you're ambitious and driven and you want to go up the career ladder, it's very different. I see a different attitude to women in the States. And to be fair, Caribbean islands, I love going to my Jamaica and seeing how the women are like on the board, head of corporate, head of this.
Yeah.
So it's not uncommon. It's not uncommon, I'm trying to say. Whereas over here, I remember saying to you, I could probably try to name 5 people on my hand as Black women who are doing their thing as VP directors, head of something, probably 5.
Wow, it's not enough.
3 I know of, well, no acquaintances, 2 are public people in the public eye. So it's a case of how do you find, so I'm always interested to know what are the challenges or what was interesting for you starting up the business? Because yes, you left the school and then, did you do it on a side? Was it gradual while you're still working?
It was gradual. I was working in the school and it was gradual. And I would say that I didn't run my tuition business at first like a business because I didn't have business acumen. I don't have business skills. I didn't study business in school. So I've had to do a lot of learning. And it wasn't until I started to go to networking, actually, that I realised how far behind my business was in terms of, like, didn't have website, I didn't have social media. And it was when I was networking for my travel business that I sat next to a VA. And she said to me, have you got a website? I was like, no. She's like, wanting to recommend you to someone. And I said, I don't have a website. And she's like, right, I'm going to do one for you. So she helped me put a website together. And it was from there that I realized, actually, you know, running a business, you've got to set the foundations. But I think that the big challenge is when you run a business is there are going to be tables that you're not invited to. There are going to be so many tables you're going to not be invited to. There are going to be so many things that they don't necessarily exclude Black people. They don't exclude people of colour. But you're not going to feel comfortable there. But you're going to try and make yourself feel comfortable. And I always say that you need to find, and that's not easy to do. So I'm not pretending that it's easy. Because I've been to a lot of networking and I'm only person of colour there. But I think, well, if I'm going to be the only person of colour here, I'm going to make sure I'm memorable.
Yes,
I'm going to make sure that I'm a memorable person. And I'll do little things like, I'll wear, you know, I'm brown. So, you know, that's something that's come about already. But I'll do things like, I'll wear that leopard print scarf. You know, I'll wear something that just gives me, you know, so I'm remembered. And I try not to focus on the fact that I'm the only person of colour somewhere. I do try not to do that. But, you know, obviously sometimes you can't, you know, that's definitely something, you know, you have to sometimes just accept that you're the only person of colour there. And then when you do meet a person of colour, embrace them. Embrace them, you know, and that's not me being funny. Embrace them you know, try and get to know them and see how you can support their business. You know, try and be yourself as well. You know, try and be yourself. But I totally understand that it can be very challenging. And there are moments when even being a woman, I mean, that's even being a woman in business. I won't mention some, there are some places in networking that, you know, if you go as a woman, you don't feel comfortable. I think it's just about being really comfortable in your skin and having your vision clear.
Yeah.
And thinking, actually, okay, I'm the only brown person here. And try and make sure that you're visible always. Try and make sure that you're visible and remembered for all the right reasons.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, did you have the support? So you had the VA that kind of directed you to the website, and then that gradually built up. And then I take it at some point you just said, okay, cut clean from teaching and doing the tutoring to then doing the tutoring full time. So how did that work out?
I was just so busy with the tutoring that actually it felt really counterproductive to be going into working full time in a job and then trying to run my business full time. You can only grow so much when you're trying to do too much, you know. And it just didn't really go with my vision that I had for my life. It just didn't go with it anymore. Right. And I remember, I think one of the catalysts for me was also that I was working somewhere that I went, when I went on my second maternity leave, when I went back to work there, it just wasn't the same. I'd gone back part-time and they were quite clear they wanted me full-time. And they, you know, they didn't say anything to me, but I just wasn't treated the same anymore. And I just felt, it just felt really like, actually, why am I here? You know, why am I here? And it's, I'm not enjoying it anymore. And when you work somewhere, you want to be passionate about what you're doing. You want to work somewhere and you want to make a difference. And I actually thought, I'm not making a difference anymore. And I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it anymore. And that was it for me, really. I just never returned to that space again. And it wasn't a hard decision, if I'm honest. It wasn't hard.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know if it's more so for people of colour, brown people, if it's a case of because you feel like you've reached that glass ceiling, or like you say, sometimes you go into spaces and you're not accepted. You're going, okay, this is an opportunity for me to create something.
Yeah.
To make my own table and make my own chairs and bring everybody else along. So that's what I'm passionate about as well. I love working with young people. I like encouraging and promoting women businesses because I think, like you say, no one's an island. You really need the support when you're. It's so much hard work, so much hard work. Not every, you know, some days, you like for me, some days I have back-to-back calls. Some days I'm like, trying to juggle so many different things, the marketing, the this, the that. Like today I had the websites, then I had this, and then I had that. So it is a lot sometimes. But, you know, fortunately, I can afford to have that space because I work for myself and I have staff now to say, actually, just step back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember doing a podcast with, I think it was Jackie. She was like, you know what? We're not surgeons. We're not brain surgeons. It's not a matter of life and death.
Yeah.
Unless a tackler come around your door, I really don't need to, you know what I mean? Everything can wait.
There's,
you know, yes, you want to do things on time, like you want to do your reports on time because they matter to businesses. But there are ways that because you work for yourself, you can manage your time accordingly and say, actually, today, I just need to take a minute, have a pause, and then I'll get back on it tomorrow morning first thing. But that means for me, sometimes it means doing it 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning, working till another 6 o'clock, and then the following day just say, oh, actually, I can start at 10 because I did such a long day. Yeah. So, yeah, there's so much flexibility. I mean, what's new for you? I mean, where else, you know, because I know you work with 11 plus. Is it primary school kids then?
I do mainly primary school. I do have a few GCSE clients, but majority of my work is with the primary school age range. What's new? I guess at the moment, I'm really trying to look at things that allow me to take back some of my time. And I mean this in a really nice way. So, you know, sometimes we trade, a lot of times we trade time for money. And, you know, I want to stop doing that. So I'm working at the minute on an online course. I've also been working on a creative writing workbook. I've just released a gratitude journal for children. I've got some journals that I've also got in place. So I'm really just looking at different ways to take back some of my time.
Yeah.
And it's not because I don't want to do any tutoring, it's just because I've got other passion projects that I want to do. And then again, with the travel business as well, you know, for that business, I need to really, I really want to start doing more travel again, because that's something that I did, you know, before having kids. And when I had my son, we traveled so much, you know, my son for his first few years of life, the pandemic hit, and I haven't really got back up to my, you know, how I used to travel. And I said, you know, moving forward, we need to get back out there and travel more. You know, so these are the things that I really want to do more of. So I guess that's what's probably new at the minute. I'm taking a bit of a slower pace. Because there are loads more things I want to do. I want to grow my travel business and travel a bit more with my family. And, you know, just really just to take time to enjoy life a bit more, because I think we can get busy with work and just try to grow these businesses as fast as we can. But actually, we want to live as well at the same time.
Exactly. I mean, do you have staff, don't you? I think you said staff under the tutoring business.
That work with me on a self-employed basis. And I'd like to grow that part of the business as well, actually. I would like to take on some more tutors in the future and possibly franchise.
Because that could actually, that'd be great. Because that would then bring the income without you having to work so hard in it.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, actually. So, yeah, trademark your name.
I better do that too.
Yeah, trademark your name and then do the you can do the franchise. But I know you love to travel. Where are the places you've been traveling to? You've traveled to?
The other day I had to write this down for something. Somebody asked me, so I had to write down all the places I've been to. I'll say a few places. So I love to go to the motherland. So I've been to quite a few places in Africa. I've been to Ghana, Kenya, Tanzania, been to Morocco, Egypt, the Gambia. I'm going to Senegal next year, which is quite exciting.
Oh, wow.
My in-laws are from. I've been to India, been quite a few places in the Caribbean, to Grenada, where my family are from, Barbados, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Dominica, quite a lot of places in Europe. Some of the places I've been in Europe, off the beaten tracks, I've been to Bosnia. That's been to some
beaten track
sort of places. Been to Romania. Been to quite a few places in Europe, because you can do nice little weekend breaks to Europe. And they're quite nice to see different parts of Europe. So those are the main places that I've been to. But yeah, I do love to travel, and I'd like to do much more travel with my kids. I think that's That's just so much.
That's amazing. You have travel, girl.
And I always feel like I haven't. I feel like I haven't been enough places. I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh
but
my gosh.
I still want to go to Maldives, and I still want to go to Mauritius and those sort of places. So I'm like, oh, yeah, Australia as well.
Would you go to Hawaii? I think Hawaii looks great on. Great on paper. I think obviously now because of all the disaster that's happened there, I don't know if it's opened up back.
Would go there. I mean, I probably would combine it with somewhere else. Possibly go somewhere else. Yeah, I'd probably combine it with somewhere else. Not too sure where I'd combine it with, but I'd probably do like a multi-center, so go to more than one place. I think there's nowhere off limits really. I mean, I think that I always say this to people. I'm a sort of person, I will visit somewhere because I want to know more about the culture. So when I went to India, I actually read a book. So it's funny, I was in Ghana and I was reading this book. I think it's called White Tiger. I was reading this book and it was set in Mumbai. I remember reading about it and I thought, oh, I didn't mind going to India. And then I came back and I watched Slumdog Millionaire and I was like, do you know what? I want to go to India. And I remember asking my sister, and I was like, I called my sister, do you want to go to India? And I was like, do you want to go to India? And we went to India. We actually did some volunteering in India and then did a bit of travelling. And I said, you know what? It's reading about it and watching it on TV has made me really want to go. And that's what I'm like. If I read about something or I watch something and then I'm like, I feel inspired to then go and visit. I think nowhere's off limits. I mean, there are some places. There are a few places I probably wouldn't go to. But I think I'd like to see most of the world, if I'm honest.
That's amazing. You've done a lot of traveling. I mean, I do like travel, but it's that evil for me, that necessary evil thing is that I know I want to go somewhere, but I hate flying. Really? Oddly enough, I hate that takeoff, and then the land is not so great. It's not too bad. It's a takeoff. I'm all right in the air, but then it's a takeoff that I don't get really anxious.
Either. I don't like it either.
But I'm not that anxious, but for me, it's just like, I just want to get there. I remember me and my sister went to New York.
Yes, I love
And it was
New
an
York.
Emergency flight trip. So it was last minute and we thought we couldn't get any, the direct flights were just too expensive. So we said, you know what, let's do stop offs at different places. So I think we stopped off at Ohio and somewhere else before we got to New York. So there were like two stops before we got to New York. And I remember just as we were about to get into New York, the flight was on time, but we were too early because obviously it was an inland flight from this state to just get to New York. And they were just hovering. And I just felt like we were a bird just hovering. And my husband was like, you can't just hover. I said, I feel like we were just hovering. And my sister turned around to me. She was like, you're getting fed up now. You want to land. I said, yeah, I do, because I don't like this idea of just staying in air, waiting for somewhere to land. I think they were just waiting their turn. I thought it was just dreadful. It was just awful for me to just be up in the air so long. So things like that will annoy me no end.
There are things that you can do. Like, there are things like some essential oils that you could take. I guess some breathing you could do. But I know what you mean. I don't like turbulence. That's my thing. I will fly anywhere, but turbulence, if it's really long periods of turbulence, I don't like it. That was me. That's my big thing. Don't like turbulence, and I haven't found.
As long as I get to the other side, I'm fine. I just need to get there. There just needs to be a quicker way to just get there, and I'll be fine. But you've traveled. But yeah, it's been great talking to you.
Oh no, thank you for having me, Lydia.
I feel like we should have been talking more about like Black women. How are we going to promote Black women? I'm definitely going to be promoting you on social media. I think you've got a great business. I love what you're going to do going forward. I think the franchising business is a great idea because I think that would then give you more time to then travel.
Yes, that's it.
And feel good time and then not be so hands-on in the business, and then you can just have that going. But it's been amazing talking to you. Just let me know what your social media handles are.
Yes, sure. So you will find me on Instagram and on Facebook as Anita the Holiday Fixer. Or you will also find me at Motivate Me Tutors. We're quite easy to find on Facebook and on Instagram as Motivate Me Tutors. And then again, if you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, it's just my name, Anita Barzi. Pretty easy to find on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. There's not many Anita Barzis. And yeah, there's places that you can connect with me.
Yeah. I mean, what would be your, I always ask this question, what would be your encouragement to someone who wants to start their own business? So it may be tutoring, it may be consultancy, whatever it is. What is your encouragement or advice for them? What would it be from what you've learned running your own business?
Oh, that's a hard one. I would say, firstly, have a really clear vision, like know what you want to do, maybe write it down. Maybe write down that vision of what you want your business to look like. But then also, secondly, remember that you might be sharing things with people that have no idea about business. And so you need to get yourself in the right space. You need to meet the right people that will understand what you're talking about. Because not everybody's going to have the same vision as you. Not everybody's going to see what you see. So really surround yourself with people that have been on that journey or, you know about business. That'd be my advice.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that the fear is sometimes is that I think sometimes people feel if I'm going to start a business and to ask for support or surround myself with people, I think that there's that thing of quid pro quo. I think I mentioned this in another podcast where if I do this for you, you're going to have to do this for me. And I don't think all people are like that. I think there are genuinely people who really want to help you for free.
Yeah, and you want to see somebody else, you know, especially, you know, you want to see somebody else doing well in their business. You know, you want to see that. And I think that's people, yeah, you're right. But you also have to remember that some people, they talk out of fear and they might invite you from a fearful place, you know, and you've got to remember, keep that vision clear because they're not on that same journey as you.
And I think it's having that wisdom to say, that wisdom to say that, yes, you can ask for advice, but it's choosing the right advice.
Yeah.
What advice to take on? What advice to take on and who to take on to support you as well. So that, yeah, that's fine. But yeah, so it's been great having Anita, founder of Motivate Me Tutors and also an independent travel consultant, Honeymoon and Holiday Fixer Group. Great having Anita on. Definitely look her up on LinkedIn, on all the social media platforms. Just see my captions or description below and definitely reach out to her for holiday ideas and stuff like that. But thank you so much, Anita. Oh, it's great having you on.
Thank you for having me, Lillian. Thank you.
No problem at all. No problem. And thanks, everyone, for listening to A Conversation with a Black Businesswoman with me, your host, Lillian Oliveri from Kale Accountancy, based in London. Bye.
Bye.